Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into the 40th part of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is tape or CD or program number 142. So if you desire to have it, we'll give you the address, phone number, email, etc. at the end of this program. And we have some letters, but right now let's go up to the Lord. The Lord's living in me, and He lives in every born of the Spirit Christian. But He also has the outward anointing, and I want you, Father, to anoint me now, because I know that your desire is to win the world. That's what you died for, and came into this world for, is to save sinners. And much of the church is sinning today, as well as the world, and the sinners that are in the church that have not yet been circumcised by your Spirit, they need to repent and believe the gospel. They need to be saved. And all of us need to be strengthened and come to the fullness of Christ when the Lord grows up in us until we fully mature. The Apostle Paul says that he's travailing with you, little children, until the Lord grows up fully within you. He said this in the 4th chapter of Galatians. And so, Father, we ask that you pour out your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding, the spirit of yourself in me and through me into the hearts and minds and souls of the people out in Radio Land. We know that you are a spirit, and those that worship you must worship you with their spirit, in your spirit, and in truth. Lord, we ask that you win millions of souls, or however many you're going to win with this message, and that the church, I'm sure, will be given more strength. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Nigeria, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Spiritual Daddy, World Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. May the joy of the Lord continue to be your strength. I received your parcel this afternoon from the post office. Your newsletters are winning souls here in Nigeria. God bless you real good for your passion for souls. He will water you and your ministry abundantly.
Right, and the Bible says that he that winneth souls, for any person that you bring to the Lord, it covers a multitude of sins. So some of us, some of the people in the world don't know that they're even sinning because they're doing it in ignorance. And sometimes the Lord tells people to do something that, and when they do it, it looks like to people that are not fully grown in the Lord that they are sinning. But I can assure you, I am not sinning. All right? No matter what you think, no matter what you believe, that's not true, because I am totally soul-minded, soul-winning-minded, and I love the Lord, and I'm in His Spirit. So continue on.
Of course, I would be very glad to receive your T-shirt and sweatshirt, as you said in your cover note. Black and white, I wear a size large. God will surely reward you abundantly for your labor of love. My warmest regards to everyone in the vineyard, your son, N. Morrison, from Nigeria, Africa.
And where's the next letter from?
It's an email from the United States.
Okay.
Tonight, I heard a man on the radio named Peeler. I believe an ex-FBI agent.
Yes, he was John Peeler. I did a piece of literature on him. He called up with a confession, and he definitely is a former FBI Secret Service person. He was with the Secret Service. He quit the FBI. He quit the BATF because of what they did at Waco. The government didn't go there to arrest them. John Peeler told me that they called it a turkey shoot, and they were laughing and joking about killing those women and children. This is not the United States government. It is the Roman government. Bush is a puppet of the Pope, and he A lot of people are blaming him for what's being done today. He's part of it, but it's for sure he's taking his orders from Rome. The man is not a very bright man at all. They say we have all sorts of information on him and the United Nations, and we could read it to you, but you know, the Lord has called me to preach the gospel. I just don't understand people, except if it weren't for the Bible. The Bible says they're possessed with the devil and they've been totally deceived into believing the Roman Empire and those that are controlled by the Roman Empire, the Pope, the Catholic Vaticanite Pope, and all their constituents. Okay, then let's go ahead.
He claims he was sent to ruin Mr. Alamo.
And he wasn't killed to, you know, I don't know the word. If he means ruin, he was sent by the government, by Rome, to assassinate me. And when he refused, he went to our church and found out that we were no cult. He, like the news media and the government and Rome, says we are. But he found that out and he refused to assassinate me. And so they threw his son in prison. He's there to this very day for that reason completely. And he refused to take part in Waco. But he did, and he admits that he took part in the blowing up of the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center. He said it was all an inside job conspiracy, and that the White House knew about it. And, of course, Rome is the one that instigated it and told him to do it. Now, I've been hearing and knowing these things for over 40-some years now. And if you people want to keep believing, you know, we the people, you know, democracy is nothing more than dictatorship. Democracy is like we the people. But the people have always been wrong. I just want to keep saying that in every message if I could, because look at the time when God drowned the whole world. Everyone was destroyed because they were all wrong. And you people that are Democrats and Republicans, you're wrong. God is a dictator, and you should be theoristic instead of Republicanistic or Democraticistic. Theoistic means God is in control. And whether you repent of your sins, you're going to hell in the lake of fire, just like God says. But if you do repent, you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven, just like God says. If you reject the gospel, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. If you accept the gospel, you're going into the kingdom of heaven. And there's no in between. Now, you better be more true to God than you are the Pope. Because the Pope is the Antichrist, one of the Antichrists, the head of the Antichrist movement. The Antichrist is a corporate body of millions and maybe even billions of people that have believed the rhetoric, the lies that the news media tells that Rome has given them. These people in the news media are paid. They stop the true news coming out, the real news, and they tell you whatever they want to tell you. And you believe them. That's why the Bible says you're deceived. Okay, and keep going.
He was on Greg Szymanski's investigative journal radio show. I am a Christian myself and very anti-New World Order sort of person. I was wondering if Brother Alamo would know why an FBI agent was sent to ruin him.
Well, why was... you'd answer that question very easily if you read the Bible. Why don't you read the Bible, sir? Why did the high priest want to ruin Jesus, kill Jesus, huh? Because they're possessed with the devil, that's why. But this John Peeler came to our restaurant and met a bunch of my people, went over to our church and met a bunch of my people and found out that they're just real good people. And so he said, I'm not going to kill him. What for? He's doing a great job for God. And they threatened his life then and put his son in prison. Now, the Lord says that they are going to persecute him, that they're going to kill him, put him in prison, put the disciples in prison. And so why should it be a thing that you wouldn't know when these things come to pass in your life? The Bible says that we're going to have persecution and people are going to hate us. And so the Lord prepares it. I know that when I first got saved, the Lord showed me that Sue and I were going to be married, and that came to pass. Then he told us that we were going to go through a lot of darkness. And so there was no big surprise to me when the persecution came. I saw in a vision myself climbing up a mountain very fast. It was one of the steepest mountains I ever saw, almost straight up. And you had to pretty much lean to the side of the mountain to get up there. And then the vision widened. It was a beautiful sunny day. Then the vision widened, and I saw Susie walking behind me, way behind me, real slow, because like as if she was sick or something. And at that time, I didn't know that she was sick. And so I went down. I turned around instead of walking up the mountain very fast, and I grabbed onto her and started climbing the mountain with her and pushing her up with myself, my arm around her. And then all of a sudden, the dark wind started blowing down that mountain, making it extremely difficult to climb the mountain. So I wrote up, the Lord told me, write literature on the different supernatural experiences, the visions that you had. And so I wrote a piece of literature called Difficulty Mountain. So the Lord said that everything was going to run really smooth. We were going to become extremely famous, and we were going to win millions of souls to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Susie was going to be sick, and this was difficulty. And then we were going to be maligned in the news media, called every kind of dirty, filthy lie that the devil could conjure up from out of the pit of hell. They're called as pinkos, communists. They went from one police station to another. They just left these actual, if you want to call them commies, but they were Vaticanites going to different law enforcement agencies, telling them that we were pinkos and that we were dangerous to the country and all this sort of stuff. And I knew it because my nephew is a sheriff, and they came in there and started showing that stuff, and he kept his mouth shut. But he came and told me, he says, Uncle. And I said, what's the matter? He says, they're telling all kinds of lies about you. I led my nephew to the Lord, and he knew that we were doing a great work for the Lord. But they're going around, they're sabotaging Christian works. And they're exalting Catholicism, which is the actual Antichrist. But the Lord told me that these things were coming to pass, just like the Apostle Paul. If you'll read, I believe it's in Acts chapter 9. Look that up and see where the Lord, where he's riding on the road to Damascus. And the Lord told him, you're going to suffer difficulties. And so when these difficulties happened, the Apostle Paul wasn't at all shocked about it. He knew that he was going to have to bite the bullet and go through the things that the Lord said that he was going to have to go through. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, you know, the Lord tells us these things in advance so that it doesn't throw our souls. Amen? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is, where he's he visits the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Well, look that up real fast, because I'd like to have you read that in just a few minutes. Okay, do you have it?
Yes.
Okay, now, here is the Lord telling Paul, because Paul persecuted a lot of people, Christians, just like as some other unsaved people are doing today, and have done down through the ages. But we're to pray for these people and to stand up in the Spirit of God again under all persecution. I just was sent to prison about 12 years ago for on a bogus I was railroaded on a bogus IRS charge. The government took me into court about 100 times, and they lost every time, but then they put me in there on that. They say, if they want to get you, they can get you. But they couldn't get me my soul. They didn't throw my soul, and that's what they wished that they do. They tried to scare you into stopping to preach the gospel or for the mission that the Lord gave me. Now, every one of us is given a mission in the gospel field. And the Lord tells us in the Word what the mission is. But for those of us that have special missions, the Lord comes to us as He did the Apostle Paul and as He did myself, and told me and showed me visions that it's going to get rough. And these winds were black, and they were coming down very strong, and I was leaning, almost crawling up the mountain and pulling Susie up myself. And then sometimes you couldn't even see us, because we were then, the beautiful day turned into, we were just silhouettes then. You could see it was us at first. Then we turned into silhouettes. It was like almost nighttime. And here this strong wind, the black wind that was coming down the hill, would blot us out. And then all of a sudden there would be a break in the wind, and you could see us still forging up that mountain. Because we have no other thing that we can possibly do but to just continue, you know, walking in the Spirit. Because if we stopped, then we'd for sure go to hell. And I certainly don't want to live my life in misery knowing that my soul is going to go to hell. All right, I just don't want to do that. And so I'm going to keep forging up that mountain. And no matter how difficult it gets, then Susie's life was taken. And then there was no chance for me to mourn for her. They immediately pulled me into court and accusing me of not paying. In other words, we built homes for everybody in the church and fed them, clothed them, housed them, built schools for them, paid for their children to be born, built homes, paid for their utility bills and everything. And then they said on top of that, these were hippies out on the street, and they said, now the Department of Labor, Raymond A. Donovan, said we had to cut everybody a check every week. I couldn't believe it. I mean, what other church in the world has ever been told that you've got to cut checks for people? Amen?
Amen.
And you got to pay the ones that you took off the street. Well, then why does the government not pay for these people that they sent over to all these volunteers the government asked for to do senseless, ridiculous jobs? These people were volunteering their lives to serve God, and we built homes for them and gave the homes to them. We gave them far more than anybody has ever received on the face of this earth. Their mother and dad never took care of them the way we did. But nevertheless, and so this is just one of the things. And then after this, then I went to prison. I've been put in jail for just passing up gospel literature. Our people were put in jail for distributing literature. I mean, and they it cost a lot of money. And then the cult awareness came out and started kidnapping our people and taking their Bibles away from them and telling them that, you know, you're not supposed to read the Bible, and they would starve them. And then they would put them in bondage and hold them prisoners. And some of them had to escape from that bunch of gunsels. And the judges in the country were standing up for them that were committing sins and crimes. They call it the little Lindbergh law. They were actually kidnapping people, and the judges approved it. So you know this is Satan's government, and anybody that would not have enough God in them to say it, you have to be the filth of the earth. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to stand up and you know, be counted for. Because God said we're not to just say, oh, all right, you know, whatever the government says, or whatever the Antichrist, which is Satan, says. We better not challenge it, because if we challenge it, there's going to be resistance against us. And if there's resistance, we just can't stand resistance. You can't stand it because the Lord Jesus Christ with His Father by the Spirit doesn't live in you. There's no power in you. There's no power in you to be a witness. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have that kind of power, my friend. Okay? And you better receive it, because we're going through tribulations right now, and there's people in China that are being murdered for the gospel, and all over this world, and it's coming here. And if you sell out, if you are too weak, you're fearful and unbelieving, you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. Because you just read the last couple chapters of Revelation, you'll see that that's what your reward is for being unaccountable. No accounts. You don't stand up for the gospel. You're afraid to resist Satan. If all of us Christians, a few people that call yourselves Christians, would be filled with the Holy Spirit and would resist Satan, he would flee from you. All right? Now, they've been threatening to kill me for 41 and a half years. Nobody ever did that before I was saved. Only after I was saved and started preaching this gospel. You notice there's not that kind of condemnation against the Vatican. The Vatican is the Antichrist Church. This is this place where Satan sits, the Bible says, in the city of the Seven Hills. Well, does it say the Vatican? They asked me in court, and I said, no. Because if they called it the Vatican in the Bible, if God called it that, well, then they'd call it the Schmatigan. Or something else, you know. I mean, they're not that stupid. Satan is cunning, okay? So they said, it says Satan's seat is in the city of the Seven Hills. Go to one of these agencies where you buy tickets, travel agencies, and they're going to, you tell them, I'd like a ticket to the city of the Seven Mountains. And they say, okay, sir, and they just write out a ticket to Rome. That'll be $1,000.45, whatever they charge, okay? And that'll be it, okay? Now, go ahead, start reading this. We have a mission. God has given us a mission. He has shown me what's going to happen in the future. All right? And so, and it has come to pass. I've been going through a lot of difficulties. All right, it's a mountain, and I'm still climbing it. All right, go ahead, read it.
And he fell to the earth.
Okay, who is he?
The beginning of the chapter says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatening.
Saul, who has changed his name to God changed his name to Paul. Okay, so this is Paul. And he saw the bright light. Get to that part.
And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven.
Paul, a light from heaven. You have to learn how to describe things, all right? Otherwise, people will not know what you're talking about. Then what?
And he, Paul, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him.
There you go. That was very good. You learned quick. Then what?
Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Who's really Paul, okay? Why do you persecute me, Jesus said. And this is like what happened to me right out of the clear blue. Here I'm doing a promotion, building up idols in the world of different singers and so on, when you're not supposed to do that. Then what? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Then what?
And he, Paul, said, who art thou, Lord?
So he knew it was the Lord, or he wouldn't say, who art thou, Lord? Nobody else appears like that to people. And he knew who he was persecuting, because those that were worshiping Jesus are the ones he was persecuting. So he knew it was Jesus, the Lord. Okay, then what?
And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Yeah, it's hard for you to kick against something that's going to stab you. The double-edged sword is going to cut you. It's hard for you to fight God. You know, because God's going to give you the hard way to go. Amen? Yeah. Now keep going.
And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him.
He's asking, what do you want? What's my mission? What is the future for me? Then what?
And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city.
They say, the first step is go into the city. Get up on your feet now and go into the city. That's part of your mission. Okay, then what?
And it shall be told thee what thou must do.
Right. Then what?
And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem.
Okay, now here it comes.
And
here comes the things that the Lord has planned for him. This is his destiny. Then what?
And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles.
Okay,
and the
he's
king.
Given him his project, yeah, okay? His mission. He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles. Paul was not the apostle to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And God was telling Ananias this right now. Then what?
For he will bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel.
And he did bear his name before kings, amen?
Amen.
And also the children of Israel. Then what?
For I will show him how great things he must suffer.
Ah, I'm going to show him great things that he must suffer. And that's what the Lord showed me when he showed me that mountain. And the troubles, those were troubles mountains, difficulty mountains, all the troubles. And he says, everybody's going to have trials and tribulations. He said it in his word. But Paul and I were so stupid, God had to show it to us in pictures and in signs and wonders, okay? Some of you can believe the gospel just as it is. But I was not that smart. The Lord had to show me visions and dreams and signs and wonders. Now go ahead.
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered
okay.
into the house.
So he's going to show him all these things. And he did suffer a lot, didn't he?
Yes.
He says, I'm hungry and we're naked and we're, you know, have no certain dwelling place and all these different things that are going on with him. And he was stoned so many times. I'm not talking about being stoned on drugs either. I'm talking about actually people throwing stones at him. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
He was put in prison many times on a ship that almost sank. And then he had his head cut off. He knew what his mission was. That's why when it came, he said, yep. I thought being a Christian, it was going to be smooth sailing. Uh-uh. That isn't what the Lord showed Saul, who changed his name to Paul, or me. Okay, it's not smooth sailing. If you're in my ministry, you better brace yourself up in prayer because it's not smooth sailing. I wouldn't care if the Lord gave us all the money in the world. And we don't have all the money in the world by any means, but if he did, it's still not going to be smooth sailing. There's going to be troubles. Amen?
Amen.
Trials and tribulations and accusations, false accusations, jailings. People have been thrown in prison in our ministry. Ronnie Pryor and many other people, brothers, many of them, and sisters. And Susie, my late wife, was thrown in jail for the gospel. Came in and arrested her right out of one of our services at Crescent Heights, the West Hollywood Sheriff Department. Now, you people, you know, that are sitting in church pews and just think everything is wonderful and you're going to be raptured, if you haven't gone through trials and tribulations yet, then it's because that you're no problem to Satan. He's just letting you slide. But you're going to face God one of these days and you're going to have to answer to him. Everyone has been put on a mission, and you better fulfill it. Because if you don't, you're going to face God on the last day, and you're not going to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be fully clothed, armed, and armored in order to fight. and God is a fighter. He fought in heaven and threw Satan out. He sent one of his angels to do it, and he fights in his children here on earth. We've been called to fight against all this darkness that's here on earth, to shed forth the light of the gospel, to show, to uncover, take the lid off all the sin that's happening in this world today, so that you can tell who Satan is and who the Lord is. And you better, you know, get serious. You better get serious and stop all this gospel rap and this what do they call that other kind of rap? Hip hop. You know, Jesus was never into hip hop, and I'm not into hip hop. The Apostle Paul was never into hip hop. I've heard it, and I hear it from time to time, but it isn't gospel, all right? It's not at all gospel. It's lewd sex, filth at best. Satan, if you will. All right, now what else on this letter?
I guess that's about as to the point as I can get. God's blessings in his grip, D.
Yeah, why would somebody, the devil, see, you know what, the devil has had many people attempt to assassinate me and my late wife, Sue. As a matter of fact, they put her to sleep. I saw the woman with a smile on her face carrying a needle, and Susie told me to get her out of that hospital or she won't be alive. She'll never walk out of there alive. And I saw this woman, and I've got tunnel vision. I saw it too late. And at that moment, I was trying to get her out of the hospital, and Dr. Hogue said, no, she'll die if you try to take her out of here. She won't live another day. And the judge in Little Rock was trying to pull her in to testify in that court case, which this Department of Labor case, and she was in a coma. And you talk about persecution. I don't know of any. Now, there's a lot of people in China and other places that have even been persecuted more than we, I reckon, because they were killed and slaughtered for the gospel's sake, and they were tortured. And this may happen with myself, but I have no other course. I can't change the things that the Lord told me that I must suffer. Paul couldn't change it. He really shouldn't have gone up to the place where he was told not to, because they said that they would kill him, the prophets. But he wanted to go to heaven, and he didn't listen to him. He just went on. Paul made quite a few mistakes. You know, he circumcised Timothy, and we're supposed to be circumcised in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Circumcision in the flesh availeth nothing. Okay, now the next letter.
From Togo, Africa. Good evening, dear Pastor Lamo. Your writings are always so effective. Praise the name of Jesus. Dear Pastor, your literature entitled Beware of Receiving Blessings from the Vatican, its clergy, especially their popes, has produced a positive effect and has shaken the people of Togo, and especially the Catholic world in Togo.
It's a funny thing, I didn't write that one. I added a little bit to it, but it was a piece of literature that I loved. I liked it. But so I added quite a bit of it and edited some of it to where it was more to it, and actually with proof in it as well. Then go ahead.
After reading this, a brother named Yagnanim, whose father and mother are both Catholics, thought it would be a good idea to work with me and distribute your newsletters, which are enlightening the people about this that is hidden. He is fervently contributing to this ministry, and not only that, he even wishes to join you to pursue theological training and to work for the Lord. If you sent him an invitation, he would be ready to pay for the airline ticket himself. Dear Pastor, he has the thirst to live the truth. Because of this, he is happy to have found in you someone who is consecrated all the time to the work of saving lost souls. My pastor, I think that by the grace of God, my brother Yasminin will receive a good response from you. He has already promised to use part of his dad's property to establish your ministry after he is trained. In hopes of a favorable reply, receive my fraternal greetings in Jesus Christ our Savior, at Casita. God bless you, for blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32:2. Signed, at Casita, from Togo, Africa.
Now, where's the other letter?
That was three.
Okay, you got part of the one from Mexico that we didn't finish, right?
Yes.
All right, let's try to finish it here.
Okay. The results we are longing for is to see people receive the correct, undiluted word of Christ. For instance, last week we were in Mexico about 400 miles south of El Paso with 10,000 copies of God Has No Mother.
Which is a piece of literature that I wrote several years ago. Then what? God Has No Mother. The Bible says that God, the Catholics try to make Mary God's mother. No, she brought Jesus into the world, but he was a man. He was a human. He had human flesh and bones and blood. And Reverend Hagee says that he didn't have human blood. That would be calling God a liar. Reverend Hagee, you got to stop saying that. All right, and I've got a scripture in the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. I think it's in verse 1 and 2. Get that, because that shows that the truth of that. Read verse 1 and 2, please.
Now I say that the heir, as long as
the heir, which is Jesus, is what?
As long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant.
He is he's not different in any way from the rest of us, except he had God living in him. And now that we have God living in us, we are able to be like him. Okay? Now, Jesus saw the evil things and the sexual perversion and everything that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah because it was him and angels down there. Amen?
Amen.
Even the homosexuals tried to put the make on these angels and on the Lord. That's how vile homosexuality is. They have no regard for God or country or their own lives, their own souls, or anybody else. They're filthy. And the Bible says in the first chapter of Romans that, are worthy of death. Homosexuals, because they try to convert your children into being homosexuals. And don't let anyone tell you, the lobbyists tell you, that that's not a dangerous thing. All right? So go ahead and read that again, first and second verse.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
Well, see, he differeth nothing. In other words, he's flesh, bone, and our blood. Amen?
Amen.
There's no difference. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Now, Reverend Hagee says something different. He says, no, he has different blood than we do. That's a dirty lie. Okay? I don't care how big he is. I don't care how much he huffs and puffs and yells and snaps his hands and says, and all this kind of stuff. He's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe he can excite everybody in his congregation, but he sure doesn't excite me with all his heresy. And then read it again.
Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all.
He's the Lord of everything, and he doesn't is no different than any other human being. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father.
Yeah. Until the time that was appointed by the Father, the time it was for him to go into the ministry, was when the Spirit of God came down upon him. When John the Baptist was baptizing, the Spirit of God came down on him like a dove, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and immediately went into the ministry to be tested or tempted by Satan into the wilderness. Okay, and now that's why I said, you better have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to go through these trials and tribulations that we're going through in this world. Some people just go at it half-heartedly like it's not an important thing to do. But you're going to fight Satan or you're going to be in hell. Because God is a fighter and he says for us to resist Satan. and he would flee from us. If you don't, he'll just ramrod a rod right through you, because Satan will take advantage of you and have you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner if you don't fight. All right, then what? Can you go a couple more verses here?
Even so we, when we were children...
I mean, we're not the Lord, but we become part of his body when he enters into us. Amen? Because his body has been glorified. His human body has been glorified because his body matched up doing the things which his spirit, the Spirit of God, made him do, or which he willingly did. And so if we willingly do what the Spirit of God says in us after the Spirit of God enters into us, well, then God will also glorify our bodies and give us an eternal body, an ecclesiastical body that lives forever in the kingdom of heaven. But if your spirit doesn't, if your body doesn't match up with the Spirit of God, then you're on your way to hell in the lake of fire. See, God is extremely strict. Okay, keep going.
Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come...
Yeah, in other words, we were in bondage. We had no power to be in the ministry any more than Catholics or any other religious order, because they deny the Spirit of God. The Baptists just deny the Spirit of God, most of them. The Mormons say that the temple, their temple, is man-made. They say that the Lord's going to come back and dwell in a temple in Israel. No, the Lord is going to come back and he's going to... they say that Satan is going to enter the temple of God in Jerusalem. But what Satan is really going to do is enter into a bunch of people that are the children of God, but they refuse to fight for God. They refuse to defend the gospel, and so the Lord departed from them because they departed from the Lord. Now, the Lord says, I'll never leave or forsake you. What he means is first. He could say to you, you left me first. If you leave me and my work, then I leave you. Okay, because you left me first. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Lord says, I am your friend if you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
Well, there's some people said, there's no, God loves you unconditionally. Then why did he say, I'm your friend, if and only if and conditionally if? The condition is if you do everything I say. But if you don't do everything I say, well, then you're in trouble. Okay, then I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to be your friend. He says, all those that are not with me are against me. You have to follow the Lord. He's not going to follow you around if you're sinning. Amen? He's not going to live in you if you're letting Satan live in you. Okay, go ahead.
But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law.
Yeah, when the time comes, when the dawn hits, the day star hits you, well, then the Lord comes, that's the fullness of the time that you're supposed to be saved. Hopefully that's tonight for some of you people that are lost out there. Then God sent his Son to you, and his Son is the Word of God, and that's what you're hearing right now. Then go ahead.
Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
So you could become a son of God yourself. You're adopted into Christ's body, into the very Son of God, by virtue of faith. If you have faith, well, then you can become a son of God or a member of the body. The only one that's going to get into heaven is the Son of God. And if you're in his body, you get to go there too. I guarantee you, he's not going to let anybody in his body that's sinning. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you'd say, well, Hosea sinned. He married two prostitutes. God told him to. Amen?
Amen?
So if God told him to do that, he didn't tell you to do that, so you can't run out and marry a couple of prostitutes, a couple of hookers. But he told him to do that. He told Moses to take his staff and hit the water on the Red Sea. He didn't tell you to do that or me, did he?
No,
he told me I was going to go up Difficulty Mountain. Amen?
Amen?
He didn't tell that to Moses. He told it to me. He told it to Paul. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the old-timers in the Gospel of Enoch say that, you know, you're like, you know, you've got a very close relationship with the Lord, as the Apostle Paul did. Okay? Because we saved abruptly like that and had revelations of the Lord just like immediately. And that just turned us completely around. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't mean that I'm any great person or anything, because I'm just an ordinary human being that God saved. And he's no respecter of persons. If you get saved and you let the Lord live in you, well, I'm no different, you know, because we're all in the same body. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you think that your toe is less than anything else in your body? Would you like to chop it off tonight? Or one of your arms? Or both of your arms? Or your ear? No, you want your whole body together, right? And that's what the Lord wants, is the whole body together. Because the whole body, every member of the body, receives the blessing. You know, my head is going to enjoy heaven. My arms are going to enjoy heaven. I'm glad that they're not burning. One of my arms is not burning in hell. Or my legs, or whatever. Or the whole body. I want my whole body to get into heaven. The only way that can happen is if I'm in the one and only body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
There's no name given among men whereby you must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, so Jesus said that he is the only way. He is the only truth and he is the only life. No man can get into heaven but by me. And so you are insane to worship Muhammad or Buddha or anybody else. You can chant all you want. That's not going to get you in heaven. If you don't have Jesus living inside of you with his Father by the Spirit, you're condemned. Unless you repent. Okay? All right, then what?
And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son.
He sent the Spirit of his Son into you with the Father. Okay, go ahead.
Into your hearts, crying.
Remember, it's not outside your hearts, but inside you. He circumcises you with that Spirit. And when he does, he sends that Spirit into you, and you become a son of God. The Spirit immediately enters in you, and you say, Father, Abba. Amen? Go ahead and read it.
God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Yeah, well, we have surrendered our lives and we rest in the Lord. And the Lord serves the Father in us and through us. So, in a sense, we are we're the sons of God, and so therefore we're going about doing our Father's will, which means that, yes, we're letting him serve himself in and through us, but we're not like slaves. Hagar had a son, but that son was not of the Lord, and that is the one that's causing Israel all the trouble over there today. It's because Abraham jumped the gun. He got ahead of God. God said he was going to have a son at the age 99 or 100. And that Sarah was going to have a son too at age 90. And he thought, well, maybe we'll have this son because we're too old. Didn't trust God at all. And he jumped the gun and went and Sarah gave him her handmaid, which was an Egyptian. Northern African, and he had this child, and it became the Arab, the first Arab. And the Bible says, God said that these Arabs would be a thorn in Israel's side because of Abraham jumping the gun. You can't disobey God and wind up with no retribution. You have to pay. And right now they're causing them nothing but trouble. They want to run them into the sea because they're jealous of the seed of Abraham, Isaac. Isaac is the true son. Jacob and the 12 princes of Israel. And all the people of the world are jealous of us Jews. And they show it by throwing us in prison, persecuting us, maligning us, and trying to drive us into the sea over in Israel. And they're jealous of us when we become Hebrew Christians, born again Hebrews that believe in Jesus. That makes us even more hated, and people are more jealous. And if God tells me to do something, and people that don't have the Spirit, and they think that the Lord, that I'm doing something wrong. No, you're wrong. You're judging with your own carnal mind. Stop it. All right? I wouldn't be able to win souls and talk like this if I wasn't of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, maybe things that I do would affect you if you did them, but they don't affect me. Okay, then what?
Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Right. These were the people of Galatia. He called them in the third chapter, foolish Galatians, because they were telling them that they had to be circumcised and that they still had to keep all these rituals and the holidays and all these other things, which ended because even all the seven holidays were symbolic of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The day of Pentecost has come. The fulfillment of the day of Pentecost has come. You don't have to do that anymore. And the tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, we are now the tabernacle of God. And so that feast is over with. And one, all the different feasts are over with now, but they wanted to keep doing them. The Apostle Paul, tell me, did you, he that does miracles among you, does he do it by his own works, or does he do it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? He says he does it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by anything that he can do, or you could conjure up. Well, you think that you can just type your way into heaven. No, you have to do that, you know, to help. You think that you can just do some kind of job or a ritual, or you have to go through all these different rituals that are in the Bible. We have to be baptized. That's in the New Testament. In water. And we have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you want to be in the ministry. Okay, and then go back to the last eight verses of this chapter.
Okay.
Bring it.
Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar.
Yeah, there's two promises. Okay, then what?
For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia.
Yeah, this is an Arabian. This is not a Jew. Israel and all the Arabic countries belong to the Jews. God, the borders that God gave in to the Jews showed that they own everything, but now they've got them down to just a little strip of land. Go ahead, keep going, because we're out of time, really.
And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children.
Right, so, you know, the Arabs are supposed to answer to, they're to be the servants of Israel, Jerusalem. Then what?
But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband.
Right. Now, a person that is desolate, you could be a soul winner and win more children to the Lord, which are actually your children, because you have to bring them up in the Spirit. And so I have more children than I could have ever had with a woman. Amen?
Amen.
I've got more children now than I could have ever had if I had been accused of having 100 wives. This is another false accusation. My God. I'm 71 and a half years old. What would I do with, you know, wives like that? Okay, now I see my time is up. And I want to just read the whole chapter, get into the Bible. And now you can have the life of God living in you right now. And you can be, the minute that the Spirit of God enters in you, you'll be saying, Abba, Father, amen? And you'll become a son of God. And all you have to do is just say this prayer to you. This is the beginning of salvation. So say now to the Father, mean it. I mean, really, the Lord hears everything that you say. He knows everything you're thinking, so He'll hear your prayer. And everyone that calls on Him, everyone that's going to talk to Him, He'll hear you. Especially when you're wanting to be saved. Just say to Him now, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's going to enter you now. Therefore, I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Therefore, I know you've heard me. I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I promised that we would give you an opportunity to order this tape. It's program number 142. And there are four different ways that you can do that. And you can also order literature, tapes, buy a Bible, or the Messiah book, and whatever from us. Okay? So tell them how.
You can go to alamoministries.com. Or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Now, unless it's Friday, if it's Friday, then you can hear us again on Monday. But until then, it'll be part 41 of how to have God's life living in you. And until then, you know, keep listening to the programs. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.